Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. In just a few minutes, of course, coming to us from across the pond, Jamel Herring, WBO champion, 28-2, 16 kills, been stopped once, taken on 22-2 with 10 whacks, been stopped once, taken on Frampton Comes Alive, Carl Frampton, baby, 28-2, 16 KOs. That'll be coming on The Zone shortly. Of course, the main event figures to go on about 2:30 Pacific time. So check your clock, whatever time it is right now, 2:30 Pacific time, 5:30 Eastern time. The main event should air about that time on The Zone. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this is the Saturday edition, live view on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio. The new channel we've got there is Channel 217, and of course, a plethora of other internet platforms. Now, we take it from the West Coast to the East Coast, and bring in, of course, the boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And, Sock, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir. How's everything with yourself?
Well, everything's fine. I'm pondering my thoughts here about Oscar De La Hoya and Roy Jones. Now, Oscar De La Hoya has been known to wear a bra, and Roy Jones should wear a bra. So where does that? So how do we do that?
So it would be the bra for it all, I guess.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that one, but that's a cool. That was one of the best comebacks you could ever. Right on, bro. That was a killer comeback. Seriously, last time I saw Roy Jones with Mike Tyson, I mean, it was shameful, man. He had he had breasts some women might be proud to have.
Yeah, it says Father Time is undefeated, and we talk about Roy Jones, who at one point had, I mean, just as far as physique, the perfect physique. I mean, the guy was chiseled, and he does not look like that anymore as he's, you know, nearing 50 years of age. I saw he put out a press conference. He got excited. He said that him and Oscar have unfinished business. I don't know what that is. I mean, they were never, ever campaigning at the same weight class at any time. So, but I think there was always kind of like that little bit of jealousy Roy had, because Oscar was kind of like the face of HBO. And although Roy was the best fighter on the planet at one point, he didn't get that same Oscar love, and certainly not the Oscar paydays, you know, when they were both at their prime.
That's because Roy never slept with the women that Oscar slept with. That's done. Let's be honest now. Remember that deposition he took for that alleged sexual assault down there in Cancun or whatever, that Mexican resort down there. And of course, he said that he didn't remember the girl's name because he had sex with over 250 women in the last year. He doesn't even remember her.
What a problem to have, huh?
Well, what can I say? And he's still alive.
He's still alive, yes.
I mean, yeah, this would, you know, that's yikes. That's a little scary. Ask Matt Gaetz about that right now. He's in a world of trouble. Of course, we'll get to that probably in another day. But you are tuned. I got to laugh about that one. You are tuned. So tell me about Carl Frampton. Frampton Comes Alive. I was excited to him with him at 122 pounds, but he's never really lost major fights. I mean, the one fight that I was thinking about, that Leo Santa Cruz fight, that might have been like almost a hometown decision, because Santa Cruz was the Mexican-American, and of course, you know, fighting in Vegas, fighting in L.A., it's sort of tough to beat those guys there.
You got to bring your own judges sometimes when you go into that deep enemy territory. Carl Frampton and Jamel Herring's an excellent fight. I think Carl Frampton, his legacy's on the line tonight. I think if he wins this, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's already had a pretty darn good career. You can make a case for him being a Hall of Famer now. He's fought some of the best fighters of his era. Santa Cruz twice. He lost his countryman, Warrington. He fought Quigg, another countryman. He beat him.
Yep. I didn't think
Nonito Donaire, an older Donaire, but still Donaire was still live. And he's an exciting fighter, man. He fights in and out, throws a lot of punches, both guys with good amateur pedigrees. And Frampton, who's been around, it seems like forever, is actually younger by a year than Herring. The big advantage that everyone sees is the height that Herring will possess and the southpaw style. But I mean, Frampton's a guy that's seen it all. You know, I don't think that's necessarily going to be the telling factor. I know that he's the underdog, but I'm edging, leaning towards Carl Frampton, pulling up the minor upset and winning a third title at their weight class.
So this is an instance where size doesn't matter? In other words, combat sports and pornography, this is one instance where size isn't going to matter?
I don't think so, because Herring is not the best defensive fighter. He fights kind of cautious, and he only has 10 knockouts. You know, and those guys with that are kind of like feather punchers, they don't really scare me. You know, they're not, you know, I think they're guys that he's definitely going to use what his natural ability has in front of him. He's going to fight from the outside. But Frampton's a different cat. I think it's not the first time he's fought a taller fighter, and he's going to have to really dig down deep, you know. And the winner of this fight probably has Shakur Stevenson to deal with, who I believe is the number one contender in that for the WBO belt.
Well, so, and that's nothing to look forward to, the undefeated Shakur Stevenson. But James Herring's 35 years old. That's what I was really going to lead to there. I mean, he's like 35 going on 95 in the world of boxing. I mean, more power to him. I saw him saluting and all that kind of good stuff. He seems to be a patriotic guy, all that kind of more pops to him. But, you know, I think you're right. I think Frampton's probably going to light him up like the White House Christmas tree. Too many punches coming from too many angles.
Yeah, he's a crafty dude in there. He really is, you know. And Herring's tough. I mean, he's an ex-Marine, you know. He's not going to fold, you know.
He may.
And it's in a neutral zone. It's in a neutral area. Fighting in Dubai, it's going to be a very even fight and something to look forward to today.
Dubai, it's a hellhole. You never want to go there. It's a con job. Listen, when you hear all these tours, if I get a Dubai tour, some Dubai sponsor, I'm in trouble. But the bottom line is, Dubai is not the place you want to go. It's a hellhole. You can't stop sweating from the day you get off. I don't sweat much, but from the second you get off the plane until you get back on the plane, it's all about sweating, and people smell like sweat over there. And what I'm trying to tell you is Dubai is just not it's just not paradise. It's not paradise. I was going to slam it in another way, but I'm not going to. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. No, I'm not giving tourist advice, but I'm just trying to tell you, as far as Dubai is concerned, it was terrible. Of course, they're having this fight in Dubai. Caesar's Palace has got something in Dubai. When I was there, Caesar's wasn't there, but of course, that was like 10 years ago. But Caesar's Palace making all these moves around, you know, Mr. Wynn as well, making moves in Macau, outside of the United States.
I don't think you're not going to necessarily be given any type of Medal of Honor from the Dubai Chamber of Commerce, huh?
They can kiss my tush. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. And for those of you in Dubai, listen, I feel for you, okay? I do. If I lived in Dubai, here's what's up. I would do the Bruce Lee thing. I would have my sebaceous glands taken out from my armpits. I mean, because I couldn't walk around looking like that 24/7. I just can't. Am I too vain?
We all are.
Oh! Did you know that was one of Bruce Lee's secrets? That he had the sweat glands in his armpits taken away? That's why he never sweat down there. He looked so good, he could always flex and not look gnarly.
I never knew that.
Well, you know, I know Bruce Lee was born here in San Francisco, of course. No doubt about that, the legend that he was in the world of martial arts and films. But, you know, his death... A lot of Chuck Norris talked about it, and, you know, I mean, Leo Fong, one of his sparring partners, been on the show to talk about. Malcolm Boutwell's talked about it. All these three different guys got three different perspectives on it. But the bottom line is, you know, Bruce Lee is dead, and there probably never will be an answer to that.
It's one of the great mysteries of Hollywood, and amazing the impact that Bruce Lee had at such a young age, an icon. And a fellow Sagittarius like ourselves.
And you know, I watched it when he was Kato. Everywhere in the world, check this out. You talk about anti-Asian American sentiment. Everywhere in the entire world, the Green Hornet TV show was called The Kato Show. But in the United States, it was called The Green Hornet. That's what, yeah. Hollywood, wow. 1966. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV, coming to you live on Twitch.tv, of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Stay tuned for some more of Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the break.
he would try, and then I would bring it back down. And it worked, man. I just wanted to gas him out and get him tired. You know, it's a big boy. He's got a lot of muscle on him, you know, and there's a lot of oxygen to carry for a big boy like that.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That was the former USC champion, of course, the former Ohio State Golden Glove champion, former Cleveland Golden Glove champion, learned how to do the MMA thing a little bit later as far as his world of mixed martial arts term, but he attained the World Heavyweight Championship as far as the USC was concerned until he ran into Francis Ngannou. And this was one of the worst beatdowns I've ever seen in my life because you knew it was going to happen. If you were holding your breath, waiting on like the hammer to drop on this poor guy, you knew it was going to drop. It dropped in the second round. Thank God it was like a bit merciful that the referee jumped in when he did and stopped the fight. Thank God he didn't have to take any more punishment. But Stipe Miocic should ride off into the sunset. The fact that he was able to fight at the USC upper echelon as far as the heavyweight division is concerned and only weigh like 220 pounds, more power to him. God bless him. I hope he retires. Take your money and walk away. You're a firefighter back there. They love you in your community, man. Go back as a whole man. Man, don't let Dana White take you apart and pimp you off anymore. Speaking of Dana, take that back. Let's take it back to the East Coast and bring in, of course, Boxing Speechy, Socrates Palmer. Sock, did you feel for Stipe Miocic the other night or what?
Yeah, I mean, he just ran into a guy that was not going to lose to anybody that night. You know, Francis Ngannou is a monster, and he had you talk about tunnel vision. There was nothing Miocic could do. And you saw that from the first round, you know, when he went to the ground and Ngannou was able to get out of that. He avenged the loss and he did it in spectacular fashion. It's a shame that it wasn't in front of a live crowd and, you know, a star is born, you know, and Ngannou is a beast. And I believe now they have his sights set on John Jones for a possible mega fight, which is something to look forward to. But Ngannou's, he's a bad boy. You know, he's 6'4", 260. That's scary, man.
You know, he broke in as a boxer. He was a professional boxer in Paris, France. And he went like 8-2, got stopped one time. Something like that. And then, of course, he made the transition to the world of mixed martial arts. And in all three of his fights, now, I know a lot of people say this sounds like BS that you did, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he learned. I think he really learned. Yes. When he lost to Stipe Miocic, he probably learned he didn't have a ground game. He came back in his next fight. He lost to unheralded, no, maybe not unheralded, but not top two guy, not two, top two or three guy. Derek Lewis lost the decision to him. So, I mean, the bottom line is, I think he learned from both those fights. And of course, he blitzed Cain Velasquez, blitzed, Curtis Blaydes, blitzed Junior Dos Santos, blitzed that Mark. He was a Mark. I told you he was a Mark. Jazarino Rozenik had that great record. He got blitzed in 20 seconds, of course. And Mitch Miocic makes it to 52 seconds of round number two. Here's the problem with Miocic now. I mean, with Ngannou now. There's nobody for him to fight. I mean, there's nobody. At least with Mike Tyson, he said, well, maybe, maybe, maybe. I don't think there's any maybes. I don't think there's anybody that can beat him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the John Jones is, you know, that's the fight that everyone wants to see. I would like to see him maybe get a rematch against Derek Lewis before that. But, you know, I saw some articles that John Jones said that he wouldn't fight him for the price that Dana White was given. I think it was like $8 million.
Yeah, something like
that. And good for him. Good for him. It's amazing that last week, Dillian White and Povetkin, I believe one made $4 million, which was Dillian White and the other gentleman. I think Povetkin made $3.5 million. Compared to what the MMA men have made, I think, less than a million.
Jorge Masvidal, the bad boy, sells out Madison Square Garden against Nate Diaz, sells it out on his own name. Wasn't Nate Diaz, it was him. He sold it out. They gave him $500,000. Wait, but to show he was a good little boy on the plantation, they gave him a $50,000 bonus.
They're getting pimped out. I don't understand.
That ain't the word for it. Pimp. Listen, I worked as a cop in San Francisco. I engaged real pimps. I mean, stone cold pimps back in the days when they wore, you know, those super fly type of outfits. I'm kidding you. So anyway, those guys couldn't get away with giving their girls 8 to 12 cents on the dollar. That's what the USC pays their employees.
and none of those girls are catching elbows to the nose, you know, and that's crazy. When I saw that payout, I was just like blown away. I mean, this is the heavyweight championship. I mean, not even $1 million. I mean, that's just criminal, you know, and I don't know how much longer it's going to happen. You know, I mean, the UFC is one league. I wonder if the fighters will strike, kind of like the way the NFL players have done before. But that's crazy that the amount of money that they get paid. And yes, like you said, they get bonuses and whatnot. Yeah. But
you know. It's like this. It's like I'm paying you 50 cents and I'll throw you another 25 cents because you're a good boy. So I'm like, no, that just don't work. And you were speaking of John Jones, of course. His big claim to fame was that car accident there in New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico, the hit and run, where, of course, he didn't hit and run once, he hit and run twice. He hit and run these people, got into a car accident, the lady was pregnant in the car, she got hurt, they had to call an ambulance, so he fled the scene, and then he came back, because he had to get some weed, he left some weed in the car. So he'd come back and get his weed that he left in the car, then he left again. I've never heard of a guy hit and run, leaving the scene twice of an accident, have you?
That's the first I've heard of it. John Jones, definitely outside of the octagon, is a piece of work. He's had some issues, you know.
Hey,
but
had to have that chronic. I understand where he's coming from, but he had to have that chronic. Speaking of John Jones, of course, unbeaten with the exception of that that disqualification loss when he elbowed somebody on the ground. He is a talent like unheard of before, but you know, that was at 205 pounds. That was light heavyweight, and he was shrinking down to get that. Now, I believe. Now, this is just my speculation. I speculate that he may have taken some Flintstone vitamins in order to look 260 pounds or 250 pounds and be all buffed at 250 pounds. But the bad side to that is sometimes you puff yourself up, and all you are is air.
Yeah, well, he has had, PED issues before.
Stop. He took a penis pill. That's what he said. He pulled over to a gas station, you know, and he didn't use the word penis. He used another word that sort of sounds like Rick. Anyway,
okay.
But anyway, he said, you know, I went to a gas station. He even mentioned the gas station, Chevron gas station in Albuquerque, and he bought himself a penis pill, and that's how he tested positive for steroids.
That's crazy. I mean, a young guy like that having trouble, you know, with...
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Holy cow, man. Anyway, I didn't even want to go there. But the bottom line is you take care of yourself. The last thing you need is anything starting with a V. I kid you not. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, this is the Saturday edition in which we feature the appearance of my current guest. I'm talking about boxing's true PhD, Socrates Palmer, of course, coming to us from the Bronx. And, Sock, I got to ask you this. Is the Bronx starting to come alive? I mean, we're starting to come live here on the West Coast. I got my second vaccine on Wednesday. I didn't have any side effects from either vaccine. Had the second one on Wednesday. Hector had his second on Wednesday. He's feeling good. We're all ready to go. Of course, I'm ready to travel, man. What about you? Is the world coming back to life a little bit?
I think slowly but surely. Opening day, so there's fans at Yankee Stadium, so that's always a good thing. It's going to be a process, but I think more people are going to feel more confident about going out and being out and about. And the big thing is going to be the weather. You know, today it's a little chilly out here. It's about mid-50s. You know, but I say give it a couple of weeks. The weather will dictate a lot,
man,
you know. So,
you know, don't be complaining about the weather. You ever come to the Sports Byline Studios, look at me. I've got my Kronk jacket on. I've got my Ali sweatshirt underneath. It's got a hood. I got my witness protection hat. Somebody says, what do you mean witness protection hat? This hat was sent to me from somebody in the witness protection program. I kid you not. So I wear it for him or her. Won't say who it was, him or her each week. Anyway, Sock, tell me, Frampton going to win today?
I'm going with Frampton, yes. I'm going with Frampton. A close fight. I think he pulls it out 7-5, somewhere in that neighborhood. Too active.
If this transpires the way you say it is, that'll be your third upset in less than a month, man. You must be hot.
Well, if it was legal to bet on fights here in New York, maybe I could puff my chest a little bit.
You can buy weed now in New York, right?
That's right. That's right. It's getting, it was legalized now, and it looks like it's going to be a good investment.
So, check this out.
Weed
so,
shop.
Okay, so the most unpopular governor in the world, is he now a little bit more popular or what?
A little bit. A little bit.
I mean, if you could probably smoke a joint, you could probably feel a little different about you know, Mr. Cuomo.
Yeah.
Might soften your feelings.
Yeah, maybe make you forget about, you know, his dastardly deeds that he's allegedly accused of.
I saw Oscar De La Hoya's daughter on YouTube. She's got her own little YouTube channel and this kind of stuff. It's got a couple hundred thousand followers and this and that. And all she does is talk like, oh, my God, I'm a little girl and I'm a little naive. And it was like really – I mean, the entire De La Hoya family, these guys are performers. They all got that Oscar ego.
Really? I have to check her out. What's her name?
I can't. Juliana.
Juliana.
I think it's
okay.
Juliana. Anyway, Sock, that's your parting song. Of course, I'm talking about the Ric Flair theme. It is actually Socrates Palmer's theme before it was Ric Flair's theme. But straight up, I want to wish you the best and say hello to your agent and, of course, to your wife and your daughter and wish you the happiest of Easters and Holy Weeks and all that kind of good stuff.
Thank you very much to all the listeners. Happy Easter. Pedro, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Love you.
The one, the only, Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll spend some time with Super Bad Estrada. Who is that? You'll find out after the break. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV.